God. The One Thing. The word God is used in these writings not to indicate any male god or female goddess, but instead to refer to something that is omnipresent, existing everywhere. If something exists everywhere, it is by definition not confined to a form at all. It exists within all forms, in between all forms, and in and in between the constituent parts of all forms. Since it exists everywhere, there is and can be only one of this thing. Since it is not confined to a form, this one thing is neither male nor female. It can produce effects that humans might consider masculine or feminine, but it is not itself male or female. It's not a body. It is everywhere. This one thing cannot be a form of any kind, because a form is located somewhere in space and time. A form has boundaries between it and not it. It has some attributes and not others. Since it is in all forms, this one thing obviously has all qualities. Since it is in and in between all forms, it is not defined by or limited by any qualities or attributes. This one thing, of which there is only one, can express itself in action or form, large or small, fast or slow, changing or static, visible or invisible, fruitful or barren, fierce or mild, good or bad by someone's interpretation. This does not mean that gods and goddesses, the forms that people regard as divine, are irrelevant or do not exist. They do exist and can be relevant. There is a mental form of a male god who sits on a throne in a heavenly sky. There is a mental form of a male god and his wife who sit in meditation on a mountain. There exist mental forms of fierce guardian spirits, the goddess Ma'at, who weighs one's heart against a feather, Zeus, and the Aztec feathered serpent god. Some people see these forms and many others, especially when they are invoked with rituals. Many people have contemplated the one thing. Vedic rishis called it Brahman. Plotinus called it the One. Saint Augustine called it the non-material God. Buddhist Nagarjuna described it as shunyata, meaning free from permanence and non-existence, ultimate truth. Shunyata is usually translated as emptiness, which leads to confusion because it is actually simultaneously quite full. Sufi mystics called it wujud, the necessary being. Ibn Arabi wrote, "Wujud is the unknowable and inaccessible ground of everything that exists. God alone is true wujud." This omnipresent one thing is also omniscient, all-knowing. Since it is inside and outside of all forms, it necessarily knows whatever all forms know. However, it doesn't know by the same mechanisms that human beings know. We are aware of knowing things due to our senses, brain, and intellect. We are dependent upon material evidence as well as brain function for much of our knowing. This one thing must know by a different mechanism, since it is not dependent on senses, brain, or matter which must have arisen from it. This one thing is also described as the Creator, the source of everything seen and unseen. Everything that exists partakes of it, borrows from it. It is immanent in all things. A creator is more powerful than what it creates. God, the creator of all, has thus been described as omnipotent. Being all-powerful, this one thing can create any form it wants. However, a form of any kind is not identical to this one creator. A created form has certain qualities and not others. A form has boundaries where it is and is not. A created form does not have more power or more knowledge than its creator. Something that is all-powerful does not need anything from anyone. It is sufficient unto itself and does not require worship or sacrifices from its creatures. No god or goddess, no form at all, is or could be the one omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent being called God that is immanent in and created everything. When we create something, we actually take things that are already created and put them together in a different way to make something. We take rock, crush it, and treat it, mix it with solvents, and make paint. We then apply the paint somewhere. We do not create directly the way the one creator can. God, this one thing, is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, the creator of all that is manifest. It is intrinsically unmanifest, yet is able to manifest anything. It imparts something of its essence to what it creates. Is this one God benevolent, cruel, arbitrary, and capricious? How would we know? In order to evaluate, we would have to know everything in all time, all circumstances, all causes, all consequences. We can only assess from our extremely limited perspective. This one thing is not jealous. It is all-powerful and is in everything. It is not vengeful, as it has nothing to avenge, and is all-powerful besides. It does not make contracts, demand offerings or worship, or condemn people as gods and goddesses do. This one thing is sufficient unto itself and needs nothing. It is not pleased by begging or groveling, flattered by worship, or angered by its creatures' feelings or actions. It is not subject to its creatures. It has systems in place to allow souls to pursue all sorts of desires and to eventually realize truth and oneness. People describe this one thing acting like a human being, but such descriptions are due to lack of comprehension and lack of language. How can our human minds grasp this one thing we call God that is everywhere, unmanifest in itself, yet manifesting all things and manifest in all things? Is there an order in the universe? Is there a system, a way to navigate to a destination we choose? Human beings can relate to other beings like ourselves. Wouldn't it be magnificent for the one God to manifest a form that looked like us, with qualities and knowledge that would help us navigate this sea of existence? Many say that God has done exactly that. From saints and prophets to avatars and Messiah, the true knowledge of God has never been completely hidden from humanity and never will be. It is inside us and all around us everywhere. We are made of it.